Welcome back to Poolside Podcast. My name is Blake, and today I am joined by Tom Kiley from the band Patient 67. Good morning, Tom.
Blake, how's it going, my man?
It's awesome. So where you are in Perth, Australia, it's like Saturday morning there, right?
Yeah, yep, 9 a.m. Saturday morning, cold. Yep, wearing a hoodie, so I'm nice and warm and happy to be talking to you, man.
Right on. Like I was saying, I'm kind of envious of you being able to wear a hoodie right now, because in Louisiana right now it's around like 8 o'clock at night. The night's just getting started on a Friday, and we have a tropical storm that just came through and flooded my apartment literally. So yeah, I'll deal with that after.
That's not that it's not the best news for your Friday, man. Honestly, that's tough.
Well, the best news for my Friday night is actually just being able to hang out with you and, you know, shoot the shit. So that's what we're going to do.
Word. Sounds good.
First things first, I kind of just want to congratulate you on your brand new engagement.
Thank you. Well, it kind of happened at the end of last year, but I put like a post on Facebook. We had our engagement party a few weeks ago. So yeah, lots happening. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And that's just like something that's pretty huge, especially with a lot of things that are going on right now with the band. It's just like everything is just in full motion for you. But how was proposing for you? Like, were you nervous? Were you confident? How'd you go into it?
It's a great question. I feel like I was so nervous, man. Like so nervous. We were meant to go to Disneyland. In fact, like we love visiting America, and my fiance Alicia, she's a huge Disney fan, and the plan was to propose there, but obviously with COVID travel plans took a bit of a diversion. So I sort of created a Disney proposal at home using the virtual fireworks. It was pretty cool. I'm pretty proud of myself with the resources I had.
Yeah, you improvised pretty well. You're a sweet man.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's awesome, man. But like I said, there's a lot of great things you're working on. So we're going to get into those things.
Sounds good.
Awesome. So I need an introduction to Patient 67 for those who aren't aware of who you guys are. So let's introduce the band members. What's the current lineup?
Sure. So my name's Tom Kiley, and I do vocals. We have Rory Venville, who plays guitar and sings. We have Declan Letessia, who's been in the band since day one with me. He plays guitar. Mm-hmm. And then we have Giuliano Macri on drums. We're a four piece. That's been our lineup for the last couple of years. So yeah, it's been great.
They're all great musicians, by the way. And I think the addition of Jules being in the band is just a really good fit. I think his drums are just so tight.
Yeah. Yeah. He filled in with us for about 6 months or so, just playing live for us as we were getting back into the swing of things, playing shows. And he was unbelievable. He's so committed and dedicated, and he really was the perfect fit. And we all just get along with him. So it was an easy decision, and yeah, really, really thankful to have such good members in our band, guys I can count on every day. And it's a great situation.
Yeah. So it seems like the chemistry is really forming pretty well. And I know there's been a couple changes in the lineup in the past, but I feel like this is more of a solidified lineup.
100% Blake. Yeah. It's been, like I said, and even before Jules joined, it was me, Rory, and Declan since like early 2017. So we've had our same lineup for like 4 years, and we've just added Jules as a drummer. We did have a couple of guys in and out through, and that's bands for you, man. Like a lot of the time, the lineups change, but yeah, we're a really solid group, and it's exciting times ahead. You know, we're friends first and bandmates second. So
that's important, especially chemistry wise.
100%. You got to be. You got to be prepared to do the hard work with the guys in your band. And luckily for the guys, you know, Declan, Jules and Rory, they're just guys I can count on, and I love them all. So wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest.
Right. I'm sure that helps a lot with the writing process and touring and stuff like that. Just like being able to be around each other.
Definitely. I mean, we're sort of in the process of looking how it would look if we were to do some touring outside of our state. And it's a great problem to have when you're, you know, the stuff within the band in terms of chemistry, it really couldn't be stronger. So we all have each other's back, man. I think that's where it all starts. So
we're going to get to know you and the band a little more. So for those who don't know, Patient 67's name came from one of my favorite movies, honestly, Shutter Island. How much is the name of the band implied with the band's message?
I love that question, Blake. I think the truth is that the name initially was like, you know, you said it's an amazing movie, Shutter Island. I'll shout it out. I'm doing free marketing for them, you know, just because every time I'm like, if you haven't seen Shutter Island, man, you got to go see it. It's so good. And honestly, at first it was just kind of a name that sounded just something a little bit fresh at the time. And, you know, I guess a band name that kind of, it just stuck when the name came about, you know, in the early days of the band. And in terms of the messaging, I mean, I've always kind of lent on stuff in that movie. You know, that's kind of why I was drawn to the movie in the first place, Blake, is, you know, it talks about a lot of really powerful things, like, you know, obviously like imposter syndrome, you know, finding out who you're meant to be, you know, understanding the world around you and how to navigate through it and making sense of what's real and what isn't. I won't spoil the movie for anyone who hasn't seen it, but yeah, there's a lot of messages in that movie that I consider important in not really just our music, but the music I listen to as well. I mean, it's in some ways a referendum on who we kind of want to be as people, you know, when we listen to music or who we, you know, reflecting on who we are. And that movie is just one of many that does that so well.
And it's kind of like every time I watch that movie, I just see something new or understand something new every time.
Oh, it's got great replay value. It's awesome. It's awesome. And I think it's the sort of movie where I'll go back and watch it and be like, yeah, this is like just as good as when I watched it the last time. So yeah,
exactly. Just like your music is.
Oh man. If we can get any replay value from our music, like that movie has, I will be a very happy man.
There's a correlation I feel in that sense for sure.
Appreciate it.
So talking about the sound of your band and correlation to that movie, what type of sound can be expected from Patient 67 for someone who hasn't heard your band before?
It's a good question, man. Like for us, we definitely classify ourselves as a metalcore band. There's a million different subgenres wherever you look now, but the truth is that we are a metalcore band at heart. But we've always been happy to experiment, you know, outside of that. You know, we have songs that are definitely more melodic. We've done a bunch of acoustic stuff as well. So we've definitely tried to branch out from being just that straight heavier band. But I'd say if you're into, I mean, I was speaking to someone recently and they sort of compared us to, you know, that sort of classic metalcore sound of the early of the last decade. And that's probably where we start. But I'd like to think there's a little bit of something for everyone in our sound as well.
It definitely has that classic metalcore sound, but I feel like it's more refined. I was telling Derek this the other day. I was like, I really get a sense of, it sounds kind of like Confide, the Recover album a lot.
Yeah.
And I just like it. And it's more of the sonicality, if that's even a word, but the tempo and the beats and how the breakdowns come in and just, you have to catch it. It's just, it's faster at times. And then you have kind of softer songs at some other times, but pretty good refined sound. I wouldn't keep it all the way in the back of the earlier sounds. It's definitely relevant.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, we definitely want to, I mean, I guess we all take influences from different bands and listen to different music and obviously a lot of heavier stuff, but yeah, we try to put our own twist on it as well. And I think that's kind of where we, like you said, trying to go for even a more of a polished sound, like, you know, and keep things interesting, you know, try not to do the same thing for too long. And when people listen to us, maybe they don't always know what they're going to get. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So what kind of bands do you feel influences the sound of Patient 67?
You mentioned Confide. That's definitely a band for me that I grew up, you know, going through university and stuff, listening to them a whole bunch. I love bands of that ilk, that sound, you know, that polished metalcore sound. Like, I don't know if it's considered cool to like hang your hat on those sort of bands, but the truth is that they're the sort of artists that honed, you know, my love for heavy music. You know, bands like Devil Wears Prada, you know, Memphis Mayfire, Miss May I, Sleeping with Sirens, bands like that, man. They're definitely, you know, those classic metalcore artists, but also going forward, like even listening to like more hip hop and indie stuff, like it's really a mixed bag at the moment, but I'd like to think, you know, the backbone of this band is built on the best kind of artists in the scene and wanting to add our own flavor to that.
Right. And I can hear similar production styles from your band to those bands. And I think that just kind of fits right into what sounds we're trying to look for these days with those kind of bands. So you definitely fit in with that.
Thank you. Yeah.
What are your biggest influences in music that gravitated you towards creating music?
For me, it's probably like when I was in high school and stuff, I listened to a lot of pop punk bands that really inspired me to kind of get out a little bit and kind of,
yeah,
I don't know, just like they were so much fun. Like bands like All Time Low, Blink-182, there's a ton of them, Forever the Sickest Kids, like all those like early Warped Tour, you know, pop punk bands really gave me a lease on life as a teenager and made me want to do music in some form. It wasn't until a couple of years later that, you know, coming out of university, that I really decided to pursue it properly. But the fire in my heart was always there to do it. It just was about finding the right situation. So I'm Bring Me the Horizon. I didn't mention them. They were definitely my gateway band to the heavier stuff. And I'm really proud of that. Actually, they're a band that's gone on to do amazing things. So
have you always seen yourself as a front man?
Yes.
For a band?
Yes, because I can't do anything else. It's all I know. Like I never took the time. Like I was always studying and always kind of had other commitments that, I mean, I played guitar a little bit when I was younger, but I'd never sort of progressed to the level where I could be in a band properly, like in terms of just holding my own as a musician. So it was just kind of by default that vocals kind of fell in my lap as something that and I knew that there was, you know, I liked writing lyrics. And it kind of left itself from there, you know, so.
Well, you definitely took on that role pretty well.
I've honed it over time. I've had to learn it on the fly. Like this band is my first proper band. So everything I've learned, everything I've known has been through Patient 67. So it's always been like a work in progress. So
good place to start.
Yeah.
So now that live shows are starting back, what are you most excited about?
To play a show that's not postponed or cancelled. I'm not joking. We've been meaning to play shows for months now. I'm just so excited to get back on stage, man. You know, truthfully, live shows haven't been the be all end all for me. They never really have been. Like I like doing it, but we've never been a touring band before. So we aren't sort of hanging our hats on that as much as probably some of the other bands probably in your country, Blake, that sort of rely on touring day in, day out. I'm just excited to get back at it in whatever capacity we can. We've had a bit of rotten luck with shows being cancelled and postponed, but that's the world at the moment and you got to kind of roll with the punches. So.
Yeah, because you've always been more of a studio band, but I think now that with a lot of the material that you have out and coming out, which we'll talk about later, there's going to be a little more, I don't want to say pressure, but an eagerness for fans to kind of connect with you personally and through touring.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. And I think the reason we've sort of leant more towards creating music versus doing it, you know, I guess I don't even say it's the old fashioned way, but definitely more of this traditional way where you would go out and you'd release a record, you'd play it for a cycle of time to it, you know, on the road. But I always preface it when I talk about touring with our band, we're so isolated. Like we are in the most isolated, one of the most isolated major cities in the world. So for us to actually go out and tour is such an undertaking. You're talking, you know, 3-hour plane rides each way, you know, a lot of planning. And for us, it's like, it just always made more sense to focus on the music first and sort of build on it from there. And obviously as we were sort of getting to that next phase of our development where we would want to go and tour, obviously that's when COVID hit. So we had to kind of go back to the drawing board. So, you know, if everything works out, we definitely want to get out on the road and make it happen 100%.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable.
It's purely logistical. Like if I look at like an American tour post, for example, you might have 5 dates in the one state, you know, in the one area, or, you know, 20, 30, 40, however many dates, you know, across the country, you know, we're talking like 6 or 7 cities in Australia that really bands visit. Obviously you can get regional shows and that's kind of what bands are doing now, experimenting with more regional areas. But in terms of a band our size, it's like, how do you get from A to B to C to D? And it's just more of an undertaking than I'd imagine touring in the States would be, just in terms of the areas you can actually get to. So once we have that stuff locked down, we're definitely going to make it happen. So
in terms of that, is there any state or any particular venue that you kind of like sought after or was excited to get to at some point?
To be able to play a show at all over East on the East Coast would be a dream come true, because
definitely
so many, I mean, you can organize that stuff yourself and make it happen. But, you know, we've always wanted to wait to what kind of felt like the right time. And we are not picky at all, Blake. So just to be able to make that journey would be a huge milestone and something I'd be incredibly pr- proud of doing. So,
I want to talk about Chris Roeder doing the artwork for the Truth Home EP,
yeah.
Both artworks. So how and when did that connection start?
Chris, I've known him for a couple of years, just through Twitter, and I've obviously always been a fan of his band. I've always been a band that has inspired me and made me really motivated to get the best out of myself as an artist. And obviously I'd followed his career with his artwork for you know, a period of time. And it was just a matter of reaching out and you know, running him, you know, by what our band was looking to do. And his artwork style was honestly perfect for what we were looking for. And
right on.
Yeah, he was incredible to work with. I can't thank him highly enough for the work he put into both pieces for our band's Home Truths records. He's just got that style that's so, yeah, it's so elegant, so mm-hmm. It's so beautiful to look at. And I mean, it just worked out perfectly. And like I said, he put real time into both of those pieces. And I plan to, when we have our own proper place, like get the artworks printed properly and sort of hang them on the wall, because he's very impressive.
So do you think that Chris Roeder will continue to provide the artwork for any future releases?
It'll just depend on what his schedule's like. I'd imagine for him, it's quite, they're getting back on the road soon, and they're always busy. Moth's always writing stuff. So if his schedule allows it, we'd love to keep working with him. That project was like very special. So I guess it will just kind of depend on what we're looking to do with the next one. But I would be happy to work with him 11 out of 10 times. Like he's great.
Yeah, it would absolutely be great to continue to see his artwork. Just kind of go throughout your discography. I think it would just be like pretty cool thing to see. Okay, so what's the experience like being with a label opposed to a do-it-yourself?
Probably the biggest change from being independent to being on a label is that they can take stuff off your plate as a band that you may be struggling with. They can definitely pitch in and be a facilitator in terms of, you know, getting your music on in front of the right people and marketing your music properly and doing all of those things. When you're DIY, it's a little bit more hustle and grind. And I'm proud to say that when we were signed to them, we hustled hard mm-hmm. as we ever have. We didn't take our foot off the pedal for a second. But I'd imagine for some bands, that process would allow them to sort of take a little more of a backseat to the marketing and allow you to just focus on the music, which I think is ideal for a lot of bands. So it's probably the biggest difference is a change in how operationally the band kind of functions.
Right. But you seem to be a person who has that that drive to hustle and grind yourself. So I know as hard as it can be, a label helping you out, I don't think that it's a misstep for you.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's good. Like on one hand, it's, you know, it's good to have labels that are prepared to help. You know, firstly, like we never had any labels. Like a couple of years ago, we didn't have labels believing in us. We didn't have labels reaching out to us. You know, getting signed would have been a bit of a pipe dream in some senses. Like metalcore bands can be in some ways a little bit of dime a dozen, and you've got to really kind of stand out from the crowd. So the fact we've even had that opportunity with Invogue was, I feel so blessed to have, you know, been on a label where, you know, so many of my favorite artists have released music. You know, it's definitely a dream come true at the time. But I think as well, like, you know, my work ethic is such that I need any label that we're looking to be a part of to be able to work in the same way that we do, in the sense that mm-hmm. like, and I've said this before in other interviews as well, Blake, is that like, I'm really proud of what this band's built, and I wouldn't sell on it to meet someone else's vision, if that makes sense. It would have to kind of be in line with what we're looking to do and make sense for our band, because mm-hmm. we're definitely not a lazy band. We're prepared to put in the work ourselves. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's a complex conversation, but at the end of the day, it's about what's best for your band and how you can best support your band to have a long-term future.
I absolutely respect that kind of integrity. You know, that's what I would hope from an artist that I listen to, is just to make sure you're staying true to yourself and it's just going to resonate with your, with the people who believe in you as well. So
it's tricky because like for us, it was like the great thing about being on Invogue was that we got a lot of exposure from that. They helped get our music out to way more people. You know, they were really supportive of our music and, you know, obviously having the chance to re-release the deluxe with them, and then we did Antithesis and stuff with them as well.
Right.
You know, they were really on the ball in terms of getting that music out there. But I think going forward, it's important, like as we move into our next chapter as a band, you know, that we've just got to find the right fit for us. And if that's independently, then I'm completely fine with running point on it. So
any prospects that are coming up or just...
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversations, but it's like I said, that's where the decisions are made. Like it's, mm-hmm. and this is foreign to me. Like I haven't, couple of years ago, we would have been very lucky to have anyone listen to our band or provide feedback and even give us a chance. But like I said, that's the decision-making process. So not too much I can say on it at the moment, but definitely exciting things in the works.
So you guys are recording a new album, and I assume that is independently being recorded.
At the moment, we're completely independent, and it's likely staying that way, but it's, you know, things are fluid. These situations are completely fluid. Like there's a lot of factors involved. But at the moment, we are recording new music, and we're incredibly excited about that. And I think more to the point, that's where our focus is as a band, is that on that recording process and the external stuff, the stuff that we can't control, we're not really too worried about.
So I do want to talk a little bit more about this album that you're recording right now, because there's a lot, you've been talking about it a lot recently. And I'm really curious, you know, about a lot of things. So in the past, you've admitted to being comfortable with writing uncomfortable lyrics.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
Has the lyric writing process changed since Home Truths EP?
Not really.
Okay.
I'm still,
well, good.
I'm still living uncomfortably. Nah, there's no, and in terms of what the new record's going to look like, it's not a fully fleshed out project, if that makes sense. But part of what I love doing is being able to, you know, anyone who's interested in our band, you know, I'm always going to be transparent with them and bring them on that journey with us, because I feel like it's important. Like that's probably another benefit to being independent, is that we can really share our journey in a really, you know, authentic and transparent way. Like, you know, I'm really struggling today. Oh man, this song is going to be so sick. Oh, this song was fucking hard to write. Like having that, you know, dialogue with people who are like interested in our band, to me, that's really powerful. And that's something that's probably lost a little bit, you know, from artists that do get, you know, are moving in certain directions or can only go, you know, one way, or can only, I guess artists that are restricted in what they can and can't share. For us, it's like, yeah, we're an open book, and we want to, you know, bring people on that journey with us. But my lyric writing process is completely, you know, it just comes straight from within. I don't really overthink it too much. I don't sit down and storyboard what I'm doing. I don't break out like a huge, you know, project board and figure out A to B. I just write what's in my heart. And a lot of the time that's the same stuff I've been going about, but I definitely have made an effort to broach like new topics, new things I haven't really written about lyrically before. So that's exciting. Definitely breaking new ground.
Yeah. There's always growth.
Always. Yeah. So I'm conscious of not going and writing the same things, but it's more about how can I, you know, who am I today? What's happening in the world around me, and sort of trying to speak about it in a real way.
So what are your current influences in lyrical writing?
I listen to a lot of Outline and Colour. They're a band I love
a lot.
So
do I.
Yeah. Yeah. You got good taste there. I love that band. Yeah. Like Monster Flames, definitely. There's a band I like called The New Age. They're really like kind of unknown post-hardcore band. They Justin, the vocalist, writes amazing lyrics. Bad Omens. We can go on forever. Like I'm always changing what I'm listening to, depending on, like, I could be honest, I kick for a certain band and just listen to them on repeat nonstop. But it's always art. Like I said, it's always lyrics that hit me in, you know, inside. And that inspires me to write in the same way.
So we talked about like the chemistry of the band really coming together. And since Home Truths, has the writing process changed at all? I mean, now having Jules.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this time around, it's probably a little bit more collaborative. Like Jules is, you know, handling drum duties. You know, he's got a lot of good, like I'll hear a song and I'll be like, yeah, this is cool. And then I'll hear Jules' drum ideas to the song, and I'm like, whoa, that just brought it up a level. Like he brings a certain energy to the songs, a certain character. Declan as well has had a hand in writing as well. He's got a lot of influences in those more like heavier metalcore bands like Ghost Inside, you know, Early Wage War, like Currents, bands like that. So we definitely have different flavors in the melting pot this time around. Obviously Rory, he's an unbelievable musician and a great songwriter. So he's really getting to showcase his chops, his songwriting chops on these songs we're working on at the moment. And I just kind of take what they're going with and vibe off that. And it's very collective. It's very collaborative and makes me very excited.
So like when it comes to writing the songs, do you have lyrics prepared, or is it kind of like, here's a song that we wrote, you're going to go in and write lyrics to the song?
Yeah, it's a great question, Blake. I think it just depends. Like some songs I hear an instrumental that Rory's written or an idea that Rory or one of the guys has come with, and I'll build on it. But a lot of the times I'll have lyrics and I'll write and then I'll bring those to the table based on what song I'm looking at. So it just varies. It just varies.
So can the lyrics grow whenever you hear a song? Like, do you have
definitely? Yeah. It's very much like, oh, okay. Like maybe I can take it this way, or maybe I can do this with the, or maybe like, maybe this doesn't quite fit. Maybe I can try something different. So it's very, yeah. And to be honest with you, Blake, it will change, you know, even to the point where I'm in the studio with Ryan, who produces our band, and the lyrics will be fluid in the moment. So there'll even be things where I take it there being like 100% sure that that's what I'm putting down. But then it changes just depending on how the song kind of evolves. And that's completely cool. Like this, you know, our band doesn't have any egos about songwriting. Like whatever's best for the song, whatever works with how, you know, the vision we're going for, that's what we're going to go with. It's something I'm very, very proud of, that we can be so, we're not worried too much about everyone getting their own or everyone doing their, you know, having their time to shine. It's about what works best for the song, and we just go from there.
Exactly. That's that collaborative effort that you were talking about.
Definitely, man. Yeah.
It definitely shows through the final product for sure.
Thank you.
So, you know, there's new music coming out, and you guys recently did a live performance that you recorded that we're all waiting to see.
Yeah.
Are there any new music videos that are going to be coming out pretty soon with the new tracks that'll be coming out?
We have a music video coming out this Friday for a cover we did. It's just for fun. We covered Michelle Branch, and that was so much fun, actually, like way more fun than it should have been. And that we did a video for that. And we have plans to do more video content. It'll just kind of depend on where we sit with budget and, you know, everything, but definitely no, we definitely have at least one more in the pipeline.
How was the cover decided? Who landed on Michelle Branch?
Me.
Everywhere.
I love that song so much.
I kind of pictured it two ways. I pictured it maybe being more on the pop punk side, where there's a lot of singing, and I also pictured it, or imagined it rather, on just like the straight rough vocal side. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, for sure. It's more like our Dua Lipa cover, where it's more singing, but there's a lot of screams in it as well. Like there's a lot. It's very, I'd actually say, yeah, it is more on the pop punk side, but there's still a lot of energy. There's still more, there's a lot of melody and a lot of aggression. But I don't know, man, like it's like, if I'm doing a cover, I want to capture the magic of the original in that. I don't want to completely shift away from what made the original great, but it's definitely very, very patient, 67. And similar to our Ed Sheeran cover of I Don't Care as well. So it's definitely more in that vein, but you know, we'll always be a band that's like, we'll keep it heavy when we need to, but this song's a lot of fun. It'll stay stuck in your head for a while, hopefully.
Sounds like the Everywhere song is everywhere.
Yeah, I was like, I said the other day, I was like, the song's available everywhere this Friday in all caps. We're hilarious.
Right. Well, you guys handle covers very, very well, to the point where people don't even realize that they are covers.
Yeah, that's always a really high, that's one of the higher compliments. Like I said before, Blake, we're not worried about, but like we love doing covers. Like I feel like there's definitely still that mentality of, you know, oh, like covers are lame, or like, you know, whatever, like, but we don't care. Like this is a lot of fun for us. Like, and also what's cool about it is that, you know, we're working really hard on this new original stuff. Like we want to give people back something in between. Like we're not going to wait. We're not going to make you wait, you know, 10 months to hear something. Like we want to keep you guys, you know, involved. We want to keep showing you what we're working on. And at the end of the day, man, music is about having fun, and writing can be freaking stressful. So this is a chance to go, you know,
take a little break.
Yeah. Here's something a bit fun. Here's something a bit crazy. Let's enjoy ourselves. And
yeah, less pressure.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. And we worked with a new producer on this one. Our friend Bryce Carragher mixed this one. So it's got that sound reminiscent of like the Pop Goes Punk. Punk Goes Pop 4 compilation. Very like, you know, just heavy poppy. I'm all for it, man. Big throwback vibes.
Right on. Not to talk about covers too much, but I just feel like whenever I listen to Patient 67, I have like my own little shuffle playlist that I've had since I've been knowing that I was going to interview you, and I just put the covers right in there, and they're very seamless. It's like, this is a Patient 67 song as far as I'm concerned.
That's really cool, man.
It fits right in.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely the sort of thing where we're like, you know, if you're just someone who likes heavy covers of poppy songs, you can get behind it. But also if you're someone who really likes our band and likes to see our different takes on things, we hope that there's something in that for you too. And like I said, you know, there's always moments to keep it heavy, but we also want to be like, we can do some stuff with this song. You know, it's not just about breakdowns and
which breakdowns are pretty cool.
Breakdowns all day, every day. But it's just like, sometimes it's good to mix it up. That's all.
Right. So I've been following you on Twitter recently, and you've been projecting just a lot of positivity, and I just really appreciate that. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people appreciate that, especially since Twitter could be kind of just a toxic place.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. So having your tweets come in between some stuff that I read is just very refreshing. So what are the things that are motivating you right now to be so positive? And I'm talking about your recently announced sobriety.
Yeah, that's definitely the big catalyst for me. And I'm a lot more positive when I'm sober. And it's always been that way. But also, even if I'm probably going through a tough time, there's definitely projecting. Like, sometimes I do, but you know, I try not to overthink Twitter too much. At the end of the day, there's so much on there. There's so much social media energy that it's, you don't want to get too wrapped up in that stuff. But I just try and, you know, I try and be positive because I feel like that's how I want to feel. And if I'm feeling positive and I can help someone else feel that motivation or that energy, then amazing. But it's also about if I'm not doing so great, like, you know, let's just motivate yourself a little bit. In some ways, I'm just speaking into the void, like to myself, and then people, you know, who follow me can kind of see that. But I try not to worry too much about looking any certain way. It's just, I feel like there's so much negative energy on the internet. It's good to mix it up and be a little bit more positive from time to time.
Well, being as a front man of a band, I think that's just very important and a vital thing to possess. Mm. Especially if you're going to project it. It's almost like a beacon for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think I'm conscious of, like I said, I don't overthink it, but at the same time, I'm conscious of being not too, like, you know, I understand that it's never as easy as it. It's not as simple as like go and figure it out and be positive. Like, I know that it's for people, it's very hard. And a lot of people are going through tough things. Like, you know, a lot of people are struggling. Yeah. You know, I know that. And there's no easy fix in all of these situations. But I think if you just have just a little bit of reflection to say, you know, I can get through this. I'm strong enough to make this work, and I've proven it before to myself, and people just need to realize how much they can make a difference for themselves just by changing the way they think a little bit. But it's not the whole hope core thing where I'm like, you know, you're going to make it, like, but it's more just about being like, let's have a conversation around it. And maybe you can make today better than yesterday and then build on it from there, you know?
Absolutely. It never comes off as forced. I feel it's definitely natural. It's no bullshit when I read it.
If I was going the other way and I was like, you know, fuck, like, this, you know, not that I would say like life sucks, whatever, but if I was being very, like, I don't know, like politically charged or like, you know, being, and like, if I was, that would be me being something I'm not. At the end of the day,
right,
at my core, I'm a positive person, and I'd rather be that person than get bogged down in the little things too much. So
do these kind of these positive ideas that you post are, and the natural positivity, does that come through in the lyrics as well?
No.
What's a different dynamic?
I think that's a great call. Like, I feel like, but in the same way that I used, like, you know, whatever, Twitter or any, you know, journaling, whatever I'm doing, it's all self-reflection. So it's, the lyrics are very, like, I try to like be thoughtful with them in the sense that, like, I'm talking to myself, you know, what's my next move? How am I going to get through this? Why is my situation like it is? And the lyrics are more probably, I wouldn't even say negative. They're not negative. They're just very, very raw. So
they're from your heart. So
they're from my heart. Yeah. So I'm not going to sit there and go, you know, oh, I've got this all figured out. But there's definitely a lot of, like, you know, positivity in the sense that I can get through this. I will get through this. But man, things are really not where I want them to be right now. And here's me talking about that. And I, when I do tweet that stuff, it's very much like, you know, it's not about like I'm up here all the time. It's I'm here and I'm going to find a way to get there. Even if it's just one tiny step at a time. And that's what the music is about. It's very much about like incremental, you know, changes. So, but I appreciate you saying that. I really appreciate you, know, like saying that, because it's good to know that it's not just me just talking to myself all the time, which it is, but.
Right. It all translates. It's fine.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Yeah. We hear you in all facets.
Thank you.
So I do want to talk about your recently found sobriety. So how did this come about? Like, what changed for you? Like, how has this journey been for you?
Oh, it's a long story. It's like, you know, I've been on and off, like, you know, for me, it's alcohol. Like, I've always had a problem with drinking too much, and it's, you know, we could do a whole nother 4-hour thing on that, but it's, and I'm transparent about it just because, you know, I know people struggle with it, and it's still not something that people are super comfortable talking about when it comes to alcohol abuse. It's just not in the same. I mean, I feel like there's definitely more of a, you know, I've got a, you know, addiction as a whole is a touchy subject, but I just feel like it's important to talk to people about why alcohol can kind of be dangerous as well. But I have gone on and off sobriety before, Blake. Like I did a full year in 2019. That's when we wrote and recorded Home Truth. So I did that completely, maybe bar for like the first song, did that completely while not drinking, and that whole cycle was all done, you know, while finding that sobriety. So I've always thrived in that environment. And you know, during the pandemic, not that we've been hit by it like hard at all, to be honest. I can't claim to have gone through the ringer like people have probably in the US and other parts of the world. No, not even close, but definitely found myself relying a little bit too much on drinking. So yeah, I just wanted to change it. And the night that our show got cancelled in April, I was like, nah, man, I can't keep doing this. This is leading me down a path I don't want to go. So I just step away, and I take regular breaks. So I don't think I'd say, you know, I'm never not drinking, but I'm always keeping myself in check. I'm always telling myself when I need a break, and I'll always educate anyone who wants to listen on why alcohol. It's a mental debilitator, man. It fucks with you. It's anxiety inducing, and I feel like people who struggle with that stuff, if you remove the alcohol from your life, it's going to have a huge impact.
What do you think has ultimately made that decision? Because I think you're about like, what, 55 days in maybe?
I'm nearly 2 months. Yeah. And like I said, I've done 3 months before, I've done a year before, I've done 2 months, 1 month. I've always had stints. So I know how to work my way through it. I just think you get to that point where you need to seize, you know, if you're at a point where you're like, man, this is not working for me, this is really having a negative impact on my life, you just kind of have to seize that opportunity to change right then and there, and then build off that. So for me, it was just like I said, it was purely like, man, I can't keep being hungover all the time. It's I feel mentally drained. I'm completely destroying my body. Like, this isn't gonna fly. And just to be clear, like I'm not like a really, really heavy drinker. Like I don't go crazy, but you build up a tolerance over time, and you drink more and more. And it's about thinking about what the next 6 months is gonna look like if you don't make that change. So,
well, we did get Home Truths out of sobriety, so.
Ah, yeah, we did. And a lot of the songs are about, a lot of the songs on that are very like, I don't know, I'm always referencing stuff like about my drinking, and I'm not going to stop. Like, there's always going to be like, that's something that I've got to deal with. So music is a way of helping me deal with that.
Yeah, it's totally relatable, and everybody has their struggles, and you know, it's just, you're a normal person just like everyone else.
100%. Everyone's got their stuff, man. And I think that's the reason I put it in there. It's not, I'm not doing it to be like, you know, oh, you know, I have to talk about this because this is what I'm going through. It's about like, for me, it is what I'm going through, but I feel like, you know, there's a purpose to it in the sense that other people can, in some way, shape or form, they can relate to that. And there's a message in there for people who are maybe struggling with that stuff. And there's always help. There's always help. And music's a help. Music's a helpful thing for a lot of people, but there's always help for people who need it as well.
And people are listening. Absolutely.
100%. I'm an open book, man. I'm always down to anyone who's struggling with that stuff. I'll happily give you the time of day and talk you through it, because I feel like for someone my age, I've had a lot of experience in going through that process of removing alcohol from your life. And I'm always happy to talk to people who are struggling with that same thing.
Absolutely. I did want to touch on it a little bit, you know, so I definitely appreciate you opening up with that.
Of course, man.
Along with that, you're at the moment sober, like I said, a couple months in, and you're recording a new album. So as we wrap up, I just want to know what's to be expected coming up with the new album. Like, are we going to have some singles?
Well, we'll see. We'll see with it. I know you said album. We'll see. Like, it's very, like I said, it's still formative stages. I'm heading to the studio later today, actually, to keep working on some stuff. So we've got a lot planned in terms of writing. We've got a new cover out on Friday. We've got a collaboration with actually can't say who yet, but it's someone quite notable how do I say this? They're very good at what they do, and they work with a lot of heavy bands on making their songs better. So it's like a collaboration from a song off Four Walls, which is going to be sick. I'm so excited for that. That's next month. We've obviously got our live stream performance that we're working on editing, and that's going to be, it's coming. Like, it's definitely happening. It's just putting all the pieces together. And then the next couple of months, you'll be hearing brand new original, no remix, no, it's like brand new original material. And that's coming, and it's going to be probably in the next, I'd say probably late August, with some, hopefully some touring news to come shortly after that too. So there's a lot happening. I'm a busy boy.
Yes, absolutely. You definitely are busy. We had to reschedule this interview because you had so much going on last weekend that you had to hit the studio.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure after this, your day is just starting. So you got a full day ahead of you.
Oh, bro, I'm going to go. I'm probably going to eat something. I'm going to probably hit the gym, and then I'm probably going to go to the studio. So, no, I mean, and like I try to still make time for, you have to. I make time for my family. So that's why last week I wasn't able to do it, because I had family stuff. And, you know, I think it's still important that you keep, you have to keep those. That's, family is really important. Friends are important, and you got to find a way to balance it out.
Yeah, you're definitely a prioritized man, and I respect that.
Thanks, Blake. I appreciate it, man. Very kind.
Well, man, it was absolutely a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much for making time for me and the Little Side Podcast itself. It's been an awesome time, and I would love to have you back. We have so much more to talk about next time, possibly.
That sounds good, Blake. Maybe when we put some more music out, we'll come back on and we'll break it down. And it's been a pleasure, man. I can't thank you enough for giving me the opportunity. And I will say to anyone listening as well, like, please take the time to support Poolside and the independent podcast you listen to. You're like, the scene doesn't, we're past the days of where we've got Alt Press and Kerrang running point on these things. Like, we need to support these independent smaller outlets growing. So make sure to give these guys some love as well. And let's grow this scene together.
Absolutely appreciate that. We're not fans of gatekeepers or anything like that. We just really want people to know what's the real stuff out there. And you are definitely the real deal.
Thank you, man. I mean, it's just you guys are just keeping it real, and podcasts are, especially taking the time to support smaller bands like us and giving us the platform. I think it's really important. And I've got a lot of time for you guys. So thanks again for having me.
Tom, it's been awesome. Go ahead and plug your socials, dude.
Cool. So you can follow the band. I will put the band first, Patient67 Band on Twitter and Instagram with a 6 and a 7. I'm sure Blake will put that in the description where you're listening. Otherwise, just search Patient67 on Facebook. We're pretty active on there. We like to have a good time. So come join our community on that page. It's a lot of fun. And you can follow me on socials at Tom Kiley, which is just TOMKIELY. Love hearing from you. Love talking music. If you're a fan of basketball, we were chatting hoops before the podcast started. I think the Sixers are about to win to force a Game 7. So come talk sport, come talk music, and thank you again for having me. It's been amazing.
Thanks for listening to the Poolside Podcast. My name is Blake.
And I'm Tom Kiley. I didn't know if I was supposed to go there, but I went.
It's totally fine. And you can hear us next time. Said you tied a little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20-inch blades like I'm Lil Troy. Now it's everybody fucking need a decoy. Shorty mixing up the vodka with the LaCroix, yeah. These bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up. Gotta say.